Audio. Hello, I'm Matt Wells. Welcome to another Media Talk. This week, a new view from the street. Will G20 go down as the event that announced Twitter as a legitimate form of journalism? Here's Janine Gibson, the editor of Guardian.co.uk.
I think what happened this week is that lots of tools and innovative things that people have been doing for a little while, such as using Twitter, such as using AudioBoo, such as using Scribble Live, which is a Twitter aggregator feed, actually came into their own as the best way of telling a story. You don't know, do you? All you can do is sort of absorb it.
So how do you imagine it might develop?
I mean, the thing about all these things is there will be another one along in a minute. Nobody, well, I certainly hadn't heard of AudioBoo until about a week ago. I mean, it's an iPhone app that allows you to hold your phone effectively up to somebody in the street and say, what are you seeing right now? Or to record a snip of audio and post it pretty much live to your blog. It is a fantastically innovative bit of technology, but, you know, who knows where that came from, because it came out of nowhere. Same with Scribble Live.
Channel 4 IP, apparently.
Oh, God. Damn, I've been really, really rude about Channel 4 IP for a long time.
Well, there you are.
Well done, Andy Duncan. We've always said that. Very innovative.
We all thought that was great.
Excellent use of public money. Oh, bloody hell. But Scribble Live, that wasn't Channel 4 IP as well, was it?
No.
Okay, Scribble Live.
Friend of the podcast, Janine Gibson in the Guardian newsroom. Now, Paul Robertson, this is all very interesting because, as Janine was saying, there's been a lot of chat about all these tools, particularly Twitter, which we've just gone on about, you know, ad nauseam. But finally, it appeared that it came into its own, that along with a number of other tools yesterday. And the key point about this is the non-linear thing, isn't it? Because text journalism and broadcast journalism, where you compile these beautiful reports or beautifully written pieces, they're all about a linear. You have to impose a linear narrative on an event, even if there is no linear narrative to tell. And that's why people often get annoyed with journalists for having, you know, made up the story. But these tools allow you, because they are disaggregated, allow you to tell the story of a disaggregated event.
Exactly. A big event like this with lots of different layers, lots of things happening simultaneously, not necessarily related to each other, it gives you that great depth and that great context. And of course what it means is the cost of doing this is incredibly low. So suddenly there's all this content around there which you can actually look at and make a view about. I think it's almost part of democratization in a way, isn't it? And it's bringing you this content and you then decide which bit you believe, which bit you don't believe, which bit's relevant, and make up your own view of the story. I think it's, you know, a great complement to other media which have also got a trusted brand and trusted writers and great analysis. It's another part of the journalistic process.
Yeah, it's because it allows you, because obviously it doesn't mean you ditch all the long analysis pieces and the thought-out reports and broadcast pieces, but it allows you to drill down right into the story and see it as it happens live, in a way, and be at lots of different places all at the same time.
And also, as Janine was saying, this idea that, in fact, what you've done there is you've actually made a much closer link between the journalist or the person actually on location at that particular news event and the person receiving the information. Suddenly, the editor or the sub is actually not in the process, so it's an unmoderated piece of journalism.
Maggie Brown, it's interesting that AudioBoo, which I know is not something you'd heard of before you sat down at this seat opposite me this afternoon, but it's a piece that, as Janine was explaining, it's a very simple piece of software. You download it, the application to your iPhone. It allows you, and it's not just journalists, anybody can use it for any sort of thing that you want, to go and record on the spot audio and post it live to your website. Its traffic went up hugely this week because of the G20, and we learn developed with a small amount of seed funding from 4IP,
which
lots of people have been rude about.
Well, in fact, I was while we were talking about it yesterday. I was at a big conference about broadband take up and why it's stalled with the over 50s. Who was there? Tony G, who's the head of factual commissioning at Channel 4, and he was talking about another 4IP application, which is actually going live at the moment, Landshare, where people can actually find allotments and start digging. And apparently this has had
more
at my street. But again, you know, they partnered the Royal Horticultural Society, and they've had a huge impact. Now, I hadn't heard of that either. So what it suggests to me is that there are some people there with real knowledge driving the 4IP fund, which I hadn't expected. Can I just
reproduce without permission of the Guardian, but hopefully they won't mind.
Mm-hmm.